News Radio WJPF. So happy to have Dr. John Dunn joining us this morning. First off, how you doing?
Very well, thank you. I hope you and all your listeners are doing their best to stay healthy, and that's the goal right now. And fortunately, I'm doing well. Thank you.
All right. Well, you know, I was giving John a pretty hard time. I told him just before we went on the air that he's the only man with a PhD that I've ever actually heard use the word hunker down.
Well, it's pretty descriptive, and I think it works. You know, we use some other words around here that you don't hear a lot of people use. We talked about braggadocious.
Right, braggadocious.
Another one is hard road. You know, I still use hard road.
Yep.
In contrast to the highway.
That's right. Well, when you get out to the hard road, you want to look both ways now. Yes, yes, Granddad. Thank you. I was pulling the truck out on the hard road with the grain on the way to the. You know, and what's interesting is about that, John, is, you know, I was telling people last week, we saw this message come out from Mahoney saying, look, where our search is going to continue for a chancellor. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to miss John. Because I think you're a great man for the job, and I know you've paid your dues and your retirement, but it looks as though you're going to be standing in the breach in the meantime, and there's a lot of decisions to be made. And I know when I saw the U of I make that commencement cancellation, I was like, ugh, I wonder if I'll see SIU do it, and ultimately the trigger was pulled on that decision.
I think if I could do that again, do that announcement over, I would have used the word postponed rather than canceled. Commencement is such a signature moment in the life of students, and it's the best day on the academic calendar. So we will do a commencement. We'll try and do virtual, but we also need to do one that says, hey, students, you're welcome to come back. Walk across the stage, and we want to do it right with you. So we're working hard to think through that and to work with our student leaders to get it right. But we just don't know when that will be. You know, that's the challenge right now.
You know, what's interesting about this is I have kind of a, I don't know if this is off-the-wall theory, but, you know, our culture does not have a passage into adulthood. There are many cultures and that do go walkabout or whatever you want to call it, right? Where you come to the point where, you know, you're passed off. In one book, they referred to it as the gold ball. And that very often one of your parents holds that gold ball, control over you or whatever the case. And when you have that ball yourself, you know you're on your own. You have your own responsibility. It's time to be an adult. And I think in the modern U.S. culture, that commencement serves that purpose. And that's why it's crucial.
I would agree. Yeah, I would agree with that, at least in my generation. Of course, I'm much older than many of our listeners. But when I graduated from the university, I knew that my mother loved me, but I also knew that she was struggling herself to sustain, have resources, and I was on my own, and I better get out and hustle and find a job, and which I did, and generate income. And so I think you've got a good point there. I think it is a critical moment in a life of for most of us, and I think that's still true today with students.
So parents and students, I think, were disappointed on the way their maybe their time will come to an end. I ran into a father at the gas station parking lot where I was ruining a pair of gloves, throwing those away after touching the gas pump. We've all gotten a little touchy about stuff like that. And I see two of my friends. He introduces me to another guy. And he says, you know, this guy here, he's kind of upset about his daughter. She says, you know, she can't go to school and she's learning sculpture. She says, yeah, you can't learn sculpture on a TV screen, on a virtual screen. We've paid for our rooms. We paid for, you know, the dorms, and we paid for all the parking this, and we paid fees this. You know, I'm really disappointed in the way this is working out. We've paid money, and then this ending with this kind of a whimper when it comes to the end of the semester. What are your thinks here, John? Because I know I'm not the first person to say, have a similar story to share with you.
Yeah, certainly there are some areas of education that's difficult, much more difficult to provide for via some alternative form. Although I must say that the artists, the creative people in the university have done a pretty good job. They've packaged up materials that students can take with them and continue to work on, whether it's an art project of some type, some sort. I don't know what the folks are doing with sculpture, but certainly it's not impossible to allow for a continuation of some of one's education there. In terms of trying to accommodate students and housing, we have some students that they have stayed in place here because some have no other place to go. They're from distant places, international, or we have students that are from other states, and they never left for the spring break, so they're here. And we're going to treat them just like they were one of our own, as if they were my son or my daughter. We're committed to that. And then in addition to that, we will, though, go through a process of rebating both for housing and also for fees. We're just going to have to try and figure out how to work through that in a way that's fair and equitable. It's a lot of financial cost, but it's the right thing to do, and right. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Families just have to be patient with us. Then the other way we could do, if the student's a freshman or sophomore, we could credit on their account such that they have money moving forward. So there are different options, and those are things we're working on right now.
Yeah, on a case-by-case basis, I could see where that'd be mind-numbing. But, you know, still, you have this other imperative, the safety of your students and faculty and employees. That imperative, you know, so very often can help you make that decision when you realize what your primary goal is at this point.
Right, correct. And I'm really pleased. I think our faculty and our staff understand it. No, none of us wished this, but it is, you know, trite phrase, it is what it is. And so we're doing our best to make sure that we function as well as we can and that we continue to provide the best we can for our students. It's important. They need it. And I think we'll be okay. But we're all going to have to be very patient and make sure that we just think carefully before we let loose with a string of what... of words that could be very hurtful.
All right, so
right now it's keep an eye on the tongue.
Right. Hey, so you, if your students are there, they stay in place, but you're not allowing any new students to come, and some students left last week, packed up and left. If you're still there, you can stay, but you can't leave, and that anybody trying to come and go into the dorms, that's not permitted. Correct.
Yeah, students, we had kind of a busy day Saturday. You know, the stay in place took effect at 5 p.m. on Saturday. So with very short notice, some families made decision to move out, actually move their student out as if the semester is not going to change. And so they went home. Others chose to have their son or daughter stay. And we didn't throw them out. And again, we'll treat them well. We'll have food. We'll just need their cooperation and their support. But we'll make it work.
Define the campus's status, because we could use some words that we've used in the past, but I don't know if they're applicable. I mean, you got a little elbow room here. How do you define the current status on the SIU campus?
Well, certainly courses are being delivered via alternative formats, primarily online, and that's, I think, clear to everyone. The students that are in residence on campus, they're maintaining their social distance as we expect them to, and food is being provided for them, but they, to a large extent, if you come on campus right now, you're not going to see students walking around. The student center is not open. The student health center is, but the student center is not. The recreation center is not open. The library is open in zone area for students, faculty, and staff, because that's where we have a lot of the computers and things that students need who do not have access to other kinds of laptops or iPads, those kinds of things. So it's a day by day. We're monitoring closely to see how it's functioning, and we're ordering a few more iPads. We have some students that just do not have our laptops. They just do not have the resources they need. But we're doing, I think, reasonably well there, and I'm pleased about that.
So what ways have you stopped all travel?
Travel, yes. Yeah, we're not in-state, out-of-state, certainly international. You know, there's always the appeal option. We cannot foresee all emergencies, you know, a death in the family, something of that nature. So, you know, we're trying to be human and to be thoughtful. But no, we're discouraging any kind of movement, travel, anything of that nature, including for the Chancellor and others as well.
So have we come upon a solution for the census issue with college students in Carbondale and what that represents financially over a 10-year period if we blow this?
Yeah, we're working obviously with other government officials to make sure that we do that in a way that's consistent, organized, fair, and certainly. And by the way, you've drifted into probably one of my biggest worries, and that's our local community, our businesses, our restaurants, trying to do what we can to help them. And I'm encouraging everyone I can talk with, make sure even though they're closed, order some food out, do what we can to try and help our establishments continue to function well. I think the grocery stores are doing well. I've had an opportunity to go there myself, and they, you know, people seem to be respectful, and I think for the most part we as a people got the message, and I think we're trying to do our very best to comply in all ways.
What other ways can SIU assist the community? You know, I'm a big fan, John. When I first met, yeah. I told you about my, you know, my Socratic in the three pillars of the academy. And one of the pillars of the academy is service to the community. And I believe in that methodology when it comes to universities, no matter how old it is. What can you do?
Right. Yeah. Well, I think we can be mindful of those who are in far worse situations than we're in and that do not have a steady stream of income right now. So, again, as I said, if we can think through carefully trying to access, I stopped my coffee place this morning, and they're open from 9 to 3 and online. And, you know, if you call into them online, they can bring it to you. And I intend to do that. I happen to like that place very much, and I admire the people that own it and the good work that they've done to establish a really good place. We want to do what we can to help them weather the storm and move on. I think there's some other things. We have a number of students that are in clinical placements. Those are tough calls because they're actually in healthcare providers. That's what they're preparing to do. And many of their services and the talent they bring is needed. So whether it be at in a hospital setting, a clinical setting, and so assuming those operations are on go, those students continue to provide the service they can. That's not true everywhere. I noticed today that some other states have called all their nursing students back that are in clinical rotations. It's a very tough call. On the one hand, that's the job they're preparing to do, and that's what they're going to be faced with throughout their career. So in some ways, it's very good training. On the other way, we want to be fair and responsive to students and families.
Yeah,
it's a scary time.
And you know what's interesting is on the backside of this, somebody's going to go, you know, I need to pick a career, nursing, because they're going to do it. After 9/11, people went and signed up for the military because I'm going to go take care of that, right? And I see that, you know, we already have a full nursing ship when it comes to moving forward, but I have a tendency to think there's going to be an even bigger line waiting to become part of the medical field in the months and years to come because of what's going on.
Yeah, I think the first responders, almost all of the first responders in healthcare fields, as well as others who are there to always be of service, and they are first responders. We might think about them now as everytime responders. They're critical, and they put themselves at great risk for all of us, and we need to be very, very appreciative and thankful for those folks. I was driving around Saturday on campus talking with families that were either moving in, moving out, you know, that kind of thing, people were very, very considerate, very thoughtful. They weren't doing a lot of finger pointing. They're not mad at anybody. It's just they're recognizing that sometimes things are just out of all of our control, and that's as a people, as humans, that's when we need to be at our very, very best. I was very proud of our public safety people. They were out, doing their business, monitoring, making sure that people got what they needed, helping people. There's a lot of other places that they could have been. They could have been home. They could have been hunkered down, as we say. But they weren't. They know they need to be here to help the rest of us, and they're doing it very, very well. So I'm saying to everybody, and I know we get this, but boy, just tell those folks, thank you, thank you, thank you. It is important. Yeah. Hey, I think it's important what you're doing. You know, we got to keep the airwaves open. We got to have information. We got to be able to communicate with people, and so. What you're doing is very important, and it's needed.
Well, John, I appreciate you recognizing that, and I'm hoping I can live up to my commitments. I've got some interesting guests coming up this week. We've got about a minute and a half left. John, I could have asked you a lot of other questions in a lot of different ways. I try to put myself in your shoes every time before we meet. I try to pretend I'm you. So I can understand that perspective, and it's not always easy. But I can tell you that I very often fall short in that area, and I know you know things that you say, boy, I hope Tom asked me this day. Is there a question that says, do you have that one that you hoped you would have been asked today that I didn't ask?
No, but I'll give you and all of your listeners a piece of counsel and advice. Whatever you do, if you hear something and it is a rumor and you don't know what the fact is, don't spread the rumor. It's got to be factual. I think we're living in a time where we frighten people sometimes more than we need to, because we share something that's just not factual. So if you get a piece of information, check it out yourself, make sure it's accurate before you start to share it with someone else, because it just doesn't help any of us, and it really can hurt our community. And that's kind of some of the things we've been dealing with here on the university campus. We're going to be open, transparent. We're going to tell you everything that we can. We're not going to hold anything back, but we're not going to share rumors.